This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
It's only been about 3 months since Mike Bloomberg started campaigning for the Democratic presidential nomination. But already, he's spent a lot of money.
It's absolutely unprecedented.
Tarini Parti covers the Bloomberg campaign.
I mean, the scale and the pace of the spending alone is unlike anything we've seen before. And the noteworthy thing here is that it's only going to increase. So, you know, we don't have a hard number, but it's going to be a lot of money, possibly a billion, maybe more.
Tarini says Bloomberg's already spent $350 million on campaign ads. That's more than four times what Elizabeth Warren's raised over her entire presidential campaign. But for Bloomberg, it's just a drop in the bucket. His company, Bloomberg, the news and financial data giant, has made him a multi-billionaire. He's worth over $60 billion. And according to Forbes, he's the 12th richest person in the world, ahead of Charles Koch, Jack Ma, and Michael Dell.
The way I was thinking about it is the amount he spent on ads is such a small fraction of his net worth that it might, for any sort of normal person, be the cost of, you know, going to the movies one day.
Despite all this spending, Bloomberg is far from a frontrunner. For most of the race, he's been polling in the single digits. But after this week's results from New Hampshire, the Democratic field is shifting. And as it shifts, Bloomberg's poll numbers have been rising.
Today on the show, will Mike Bloomberg's big money campaign work? Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen.
And I'm Kate Limbaugh. It's Friday, February 14th. One of the reasons Bloomberg is spending so much in this race is he got into it late. For most of 2019, it looked like the former New York City mayor was going to take a pass on 2020. But then, in November,
Michael Bloomberg making it official over the weekend, joining the 2020 Democratic race.
But he won't be on the ballot in the early contests that are considered critical for most of his rivals.
He's playing by some unconventional rules. He's in uncharted waters here, skipping the early state primaries.
This was November, where, you know, 2 months-ish from the Iowa caucuses, he was so far behind from the other candidates. What was his strategy going to be? It was very unclear how he was actually going to pull this off.
Bloomberg was so late to the game, he missed deadlines to even get on the ballot in some early primary states. So his advisors came up with an unconventional and expensive plan to keep him in the running.
They made this calculation that other candidates had already spent too much time and resources in those first four states, so it wasn't going to be worth their effort to try to compete in those states anymore. Because it is true that the first four states actually are worth very few delegates. And the biggest chunk of delegates are up for grabs on March 3rd. Now, that is known as Super Tuesday, and that's what his team decided they were going to be focusing on.
Bloomberg is betting it all on Super Tuesday. It's a risky plan that requires him to outmaneuver, outperform, and outspend the leaders in the Democratic field in 14 states at once.
And Bloomberg, given his wealth, was able to do that. He has a fleet of private jets, so he can kind of hop on the plane and go from one state to another instead of essentially camping out in a place like Iowa and, you know, going to high school gyms and doing town halls and things like that.
Super Tuesday is about reaching massive amounts of people at once. And the best way to do that? Ads. That's one big place where Bloomberg is spending money.
Mike Bloomberg started as a middle-class kid.
In Super Tuesday states alone, he spent $125 million just on TV and radio ads, which is a huge amount.
Since he started running, he's released ads for virtually every issue on his moderate agenda.
Problem: climate change. problem solver, Mike Bloomberg.
Bloomberg helped lower the number of uninsured by 40%.
I know Mike is not afraid of the gun lobby. They're scared of him. And they should be.
He did it as mayor. He'll do it as president.
So his overall strategy seems to be just blanketing the airwaves on TV, on radio, and then also spending heavily on digital advertising on Google and Facebook. So if you turn on the TV or if you're online, it's really hard to miss a Bloomberg ad. And that's essentially the point, is to just saturate everything.
Bloomberg's campaign is also targeting young voters, blanketing social media with sponsored posts, like one on Instagram that compared Bloomberg to a kale salad. Quote, tough and tasteless, but ultimately good for you. Yes, Bloomberg actually paid someone to say that about him.
He's also been spending on Snapchat, where other candidates, you know, aren't really using as many of these digital tools because they have a limited budget that they have to look at.
This deluge of ads, digital and traditional, has hit as voters are taking a closer look at Bloomberg's record. As mayor, he spurred development, attracted new businesses, and set ambitious public health policies. But he has also drawn criticism for flip-flopping between parties, for his immense wealth, and when he was mayor, for overseeing a police department that was sued for profiling minorities. Ads are one way Bloomberg is trying to control the narrative about his record. And he's bought so many, it's even forcing other campaigns to pay more for theirs.
As he keeps spending money in these states, especially the Super Tuesday states, the prices for buying these ads are also going up. This, as one ad tracker described to us, was called the Bloomberg effect, because now when campaigns come in to buy airtime in those states, they're going to see higher prices than what they would have seen had Bloomberg not been in the race.
And other campaigns aren't just competing for ad slots. They're also competing for campaign staff.
Bloomberg now has 2,400 people on staff. That is an enormous number, and this is not the norm to have a gigantic staff at this stage in the election.
How much is he paying people?
What we've been able to gather is that he's paying people significantly more than what other campaigns are paying them. So, you know, he's paying field organizers, which, you know, obviously are they're important part of the campaign, but they're usually, you know, the lowest level. He's paying them $6,000 a month. And that's at least double, if not, you know, 75% more than what some of these other campaigns are paying their field organizers.
But through December and January, as Bloomberg spent and spent, his poll numbers stayed low, in the single digits. His rivals, meanwhile, were starting to rack up delegates in early states. So what gives him confidence that his investment could work? He's done it before. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Spending millions of dollars in a race where you're far behind might seem like a crazy bet, but it's a bet Bloomberg's made before, when he first ran for New York City mayor in 2001. Our colleague Michael Howard Saul covered that race, and he'll tell you most New Yorkers at the time did not know Bloomberg.
I mean, probably two-thirds of folks, when asked, you know, sort of an initial poll, when he launched his campaign, basically said that they didn't know anything about him. He was a businessman. He was a rich guy in New York City who had never been involved in government and really wasn't involved in civic affairs.
And this is right after 9/11. We're in 2001. Did anyone think Bloomberg could win?
I would say most people did not think he could win. I certainly didn't think he could win. The early polls showed him 40 points behind. I mean, that's being crushed.
Not only that, but back then, Bloomberg was actually running as a Republican in a heavily Democratic city. At the time in New York, Democrats outnumbered Republicans 5-1. All signs pointed to an uphill battle to the mayor's office. So Bloomberg started to try and spend his way to the top.
He was using his personal fortune to buy ads on television and radio. He was all over paid media. He was using it, obviously, to pay for staff and campaign events and flyers that were showing up in voters' mailboxes. Many things that were similar to his opponent, but just doing it in a way that was bigger and better.
How much money did he spend?
Probably around $73 million, $74 million, which was more than anybody had ever spent on a race in New York City and more than anybody spent on any race for any office outside the presidency.
It's a crazy number.
It's a crazy, crazy, crazy number.
And that crazy amount of money, it started to work. A poll released 2 weeks before Election Day showed that Bloomberg was narrowing that 40-point gap. He was 16 points behind. In the final days leading up to the election, Bloomberg kept spending tons of money, blitzing New York City with ads just about everywhere. TV, radio, the subway. He even sent voters VHS tapes in the mail. His Democratic opponent started to attack him for the ballooning spending on ads.
You don't understand the city just by spending a lot of private wealth in ads in an election year. You understand the city by going to where people live and asking what they need and then reflecting it.
Back then, like now, there are opponents of his and lots of other people who are criticizing him and basically accusing him of trying to buy an election. That was certainly happening back in 2001 when folks just felt like this massive, massive infusion of money was terribly unfair.
How was he able to overcome that?
I think he was able to overcome that with essentially telling New Yorkers, look, I made the money myself and I should be able to spend it in any way I want. And I think his main point, which he's making today, without the money, there was no way he would be able to get his message out.
Then, like now, Bloomberg also made the argument that since he was self-funding, he wasn't beholden to outside interests. And by Election Day, Bloomberg had caught up in the polls.
He was basically in a dead heat with the Democratic nominee, Mark Green. But I never believed that. I just always thought that Green was going to eke it out. And so even the morning of the election, I thought Michael Bloomberg was going to lose. The evening of the election, I thought Michael Bloomberg was going to lose. And not until the results came in and it showed that Michael Bloomberg had won did I believe that Michael Bloomberg was going to be the next mayor of New York City.
Fighting incredible odds with nothing more than high hopes and $60 million of his own money, Republican Michael Bloomberg defeated Democrat Mark Green by a 50-47 margin.
My fellow citizens, I am honored and humbled to serve as the 108th mayor of the city of New York.
You didn't think he was going to win in 2001, and you were wrong.
I was.
Do you think he can win this time?
Well, one thing I've learned from that 2001 race is that underestimating Michael Bloomberg is at your own peril. Look, if you ask me today, like, is Michael Bloomberg going to win the Democratic nominee? I cannot wrap my head around how Democrats in 2020 are going to nominate a person who endorsed George W. Bush in 2004. But I learned in 2001 that underestimating him is a mistake. And so do I think it's possible? Sure, it's possible. It could happen. He has a lot of money to spend.
And just like in 2001, when Bloomberg poured money into his mayoral race and climbed in the polls, it seems to be working again in 2020. Here's Tarini.
We're seeing evidence of it in recent polling. In a new poll that just came out this week, he was now at 15%. He's also made inroads with Black voters. And there's significant voting bloc in these Super Tuesday states that are extremely delegate rich.
As his poll numbers rise, his campaign events are growing too. Tarini has seen it herself following Bloomberg on the trail.
Some of those events have gotten bigger, and now they're, you know, could be classified as rallies. He's gotten more than 1,000 people in some of his more recent stops. You know, these voters have not really gotten much attention from other candidates. So in many states that he's visiting, he is the only candidate to have gone there so far. And a lot of these states are voting in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So they're liking the interest that Bloomberg is showing in their towns and their cities and their states by coming to visit, by spending time and resources there.
And what have voters told you about Bloomberg's big spending?
I've gotten a mixed response so far. So from some of the sort of more Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren wing of the party, I've heard, you know, they're just appalled that this billionaire is strolling in and can be competitive even at this stage in the race by using his money. So, you know, people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who have centered their campaigns on the role of money in politics and running against corruption, they have brought this up several times on the campaign trail.
But I got a real problem with multi-billionaires literally buying elections.
Look, I don't think anyone ought to be able to buy their way into a nomination or to be president of the United States.
Bloomberg has faced mounting attacks lately from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party about things like comments he made about redlining and his police department's use of stop and frisk. But his wealth itself has also been a primary criticism of his candidacy. One of his recent rallies was interrupted by a protester who seemed to echo some of that anti-billionaire sentiment from Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
That is not democracy! That is plutocracy!
But then there are other voters who I've talked to who are more supportive, and they've essentially described their thinking in the way that Bloomberg has pitched it, which is that he is not going to be swayed by special interests because he's self-funding.
This week, Tarini went to a Bloomberg rally in Tennessee. There was free barbecue and free T-shirts. A couple of bands played. And Tarini had a chance to talk to voters there.
Yeah, I got a second to chat. Okay. They're from the Wall Street Journal, baby. Okay.
Another thing that I've heard from voters, which I thought was interesting, is that some of these people are so worried that Republican donors will spend so much money trying to reelect Trump that they feel like the Democratic nominee just won't be able to keep up.
We're going to look at it. Donald Trump got elected because he was a millionaire. He can use some of his own money. So I don't see anything wrong with it. I want the guy that can beat Trump.
So the point that they've made to me is that if this guy wants to come in and spend a fraction of his own money to beat Trump, then why not just let him go ahead and do that?
What do you think of him spending so much of his own money in this race?
Bless him for doing it. Whatever it takes to win.
The way these voters see it, money is already a huge part of politics. Why not use it?
They're so concerned that the Democratic nominee will be outspent and won't be able to keep up. And some voters have made the calculation sort of equating electability with money. So, you know, money could sort of make the pitch and help elect a candidate if they can just keep up with Trump in terms of spending.
The moderate wing of the Democratic field is still up in the air. Joe Biden has dropped in the polls, and Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar split the moderate vote in the latest primary. It's still 3 weeks before Super Tuesday, when Bloomberg will be on the ballot for the first time. That's all for today, Friday, February 14th.
The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Your hosts are me, Ryan Knudsen.
And me, Kate Linebaugh. We're produced by Annie Minoff, Ricky Novetsky, Sarah Platt, Willa Rubin, and Rob Zipko. Our senior producer is Pia Godkari.
Annie Rostrasser is our supervising producer. Griffin Tanner is our engineer. Our executive producer is Gerard Cole.
Our theme music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Bobby Lord, Peter Leonard, So Wiley, and Blue Dot Sessions.
Special thanks to Emma Munger and Catherine Anderson for additional mixing this week. Additional production help from Sergio Martinez Beltran and additional fact-checking from Nicole Pasolka.
Thanks for listening.
We're off Monday for President's Day. See you on Tuesday.